This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And good Friday. We made it to the end of the week, and we have got some football to get to this weekend. It is not just the NFL. It's got some really good games on tap, and we normally do our thing on Fridays. We go through the schedule, and we say, hey, watch this one. Hey, you can step away from that one. Or this could be good. It may not look good on paper right now, but here are some intriguing matchups. But we've got some good college games this weekend as well. Now, look, yesterday the college football world got shaken up a little bit. There were more cancellations from COVID. We're expecting that every single week. Talked about this earlier with Wisconsin. Earlier this week, it was canceled. Their game was canceled with Purdue. What does that mean for the Big Ten? The Pac-12 right out of the gate. Cal and Washington State has now been canceled. So Pac-12, before they even got things rolling or have a COVID situation with their... But this is normal. This is going to be okay. In the end, we all kind of expect this. Play as many games as you possibly can. Get them in. Let's see how it plays out when it's all said and done, right? If your team plays four games, three games, six games, seven games, whatever it is, well, we got methods to figure this out. But it's just kind of, you know, the Pac-12 tried to jump on into this. They played, they've got a six-game schedule. That's all that they could fit in, six games. And to be honest with you, I don't think there's a bye week in theirs either. So there's no real way to make up anything if you want to get to a situation where you're holding a title game or you're doing something like that to sort of make a statement to the playoff committee. If you're USC, for example, I don't know if 5-0 gets you in. You better be 5-0 really good if you're going to get into the playoff. But this weekend is going to, this is, we get to November, and without COVID, when we get to November, it's when we get the, we start really going, okay, we've had a month now, or 2 months in to both of these seasons, a month into like conference games in college football. Now, where are we? And that's still the same thing. Even though college football, some of these conferences have gotten late, the NFL starts on time, we are at a point now, when you look at what is available to digest this weekend, Michigan at 1-1 going against a 2-0 Indiana team, right? There's a lot of stuff that is going to tell us where we may be going. Don't forget the cocktail party this weekend, Georgia, Florida. That's going to tell you a lot about the SEC East race as well. A whole bunch to get to, but when we come back, the 49ers... Whew, that was a tough one last night.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, temperatures vary throughout the day, so taking your temperature just in the morning isn't enough. So make it a new family tradition. Take your temperature with the Exergen temporal scanner before dinner and in the morning. It's the number one thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, doctors, and nurses. So I said we made it to the end of the week, Ron Culver.
Yeah, but when you said that, there was one thought that went through my mind like almost instantly.
Yes?
That the 49ers didn't make it to the end of the week.
No, they did not. Whoa.
That was bad.
It was so bad. Here's the thing. It was so bad, and I got to be honest with you. I normally don't feel this way in the NFL, paid professional athletes. I felt sorry for them.
Yeah.
Like, I was feeling really bad for guys going out there and really trying. They were down 34-3 before putting up a couple of late, meaningless touchdowns.
Yep.
And then that game became 34-17. First of all, 34-17 is a walk anyway, but it's a walk when it's 34-3 and you score two touchdowns in the final 5 minutes.
Right.
Like, just to make it appear like you had a legitimate shot.
But you know what? We did call one thing.
Yeah?
no matter what the blowout was going to be, Jordan Love wasn't going to see the field.
No, he was not. No, he was not. Not a chance. Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdown passes. I felt bad. The Niners, look, the reason I don't feel sympathy for NFL teams, they're paid athletes. They're paid a lot of money. You know, they're supposed to go out there, third string, second string, I don't care. Go out there and play. You lose, big deal. But the Niners are a team that is just so beat up. They've beat up by injuries and COVID. They've got nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. Nick Mullins has nobody. And the defense has got nothing. But you know what the silver lining for the Niners is? Is they've done this before very recently. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt in 2018. They stumbled down the stretch. And guess what they got out of the deal? They got Nick Bosa out of the deal. They got the number 2 pick in the draft. So if you're going to lose Garoppolo and Kittle and Bosa and, I mean, who else? Raheem Mostert was out. If you're going to lose these guys and lose these games and your schedule is super tough because your division is awesome, you might as well go to the draft with a top 5 pick when it's all said and done, or a top 10 pick when it's all said and done. So we've seen, again, we've seen this before, but you can marvel how great Aaron Rodgers was, but some of his passes were to guys that were wide open. I mean, wide open. I think the 52-yarder that he had, I think Marquez Valdez was beat this guy by like 10, 15 steps. I mean, it was wild how open that guy was.
Well, I don't want to liken it this way, but it was almost like seeing a pro team go up against a college team.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. It was that easy. I should say Valdez Scantling, he was open by maybe 7 or 8 yards, and just down the middle. Devontae Adams had a really nice catch in the corner for the opening touchdown. That was beautiful. What a beautiful throw it was, too.
God, who would have thought him to be? Well, you know who would have thought him? Jake Asma thought, he would be a good pickup for fantasy.
Yeah, he did. Good for him.
His numbers are just
through the roof.
I mean, they're incredible.
They are. They're great. Great. He had a touchdown last night, 173 yards receiving. He's got 8 TDs on the season this year.
I mean,
again, Scantling is another weapon, but Devontae Adams is the main weapon.
Yeah,
that Aaron Rodgers has.
So what'd you think? Like, hey, maybe if we triple team him, we have a chance.
I don't know.
I mean, I know you can't play that game, but disheartening is not the word, but that's kind of how I felt watching this Niners team just go
terrible.
Up and just battle. It was like you guys have nothing.
But here's the thing. Here was the NFL. Because, look, I don't know how many of you out there are looking for a break from all the political news. Maybe you're into it. Maybe you're watching Fox or CNN or MSNBC, just catching the latest. But if you were looking for a break, because we don't have – I mean, we had Mac football on Wednesday night. But, it's not like we've got an NBA game on or an NHL game on. I mean, what we got is football. We don't have anybody else doing anything else. It may be Major League Soccer. So this was a game to go, look, everybody's yelling at each other on TV. They'll just let me know who the president of the United States is when it's all said and done. If you were in that camp, and many of you were and many of you weren't, this was not the game to entertain you whatsoever. Like, this wasn't even close. This was like, oh, darn it, now I got to watch politics because I can't stand watching this Packer team destroy this 49er team that had nobody playing for them last night.
I swear, I don't even think Packer fans enjoyed it. I mean, how could you? I mean, you tune in, you're in Green Bay, you got your cheese plate, you got maybe a cold frosty one, and you're settled in to watch a good football game. And really, I mean, this game was over on the first drive, it felt like.
You have the 3 major offensive weapons of the Niners not playing: Mozart, Kittle, and Garoppolo. I mean, when do you have one of your top tight ends, a quarterback, and a running back all out
at the same time?
At the same time, these are the leaders in their offensive categories.
And not to mention 3 of your linemen down. Ugh.
And Bosa too.
So Nick Mullins is running for his life,
and Richard Sherman didn't play. I mean, he's out too.
Solomon Thomas.
They had $80 million in cap space on the injured reserve last night. The 49ers are like,
do something about that? Can't the NFL go, guys, okay, we can't give you the full 80, but, here's half. Go get someone.
And then there were a couple of COVID cases, but the Niners are probably like, if all of us had COVID, you'd probably postpone the game to like maybe week 15. when we have a real legitimate shot at winning
Or do you think the Niners would be like, oh, if we were the Patriots, you'd postpone it?
Yeah, if we were the Patriots, you'd be all over canceling this bad boy, putting it until maybe December. Yeah, but you're making us go out there with nothing.
Right.
I mean, Dee Ford wasn't on the team, on the field last night. I mean, Trent Williams, the list goes on. Kendrick Bourne, he didn't play either. I mean, really. It's like, let's say you could have a guessing game. Did he play Thursday or not? Just go through the roster and randomly name people to see if they actually played in last night's game. Did this starter participate? Sorry. No, he actually did not. Had the case of the bug, the flu. The other one's dealing with the calf injury. That was terrible.
I'm surprised they didn't just say, hey, Emmanuel, can you just come back for one game?
Yeah, right? Just
please.
One, please.
Just one.
Please
we know we're not going to win. We just want to make it look competitive.
Yeah. Now, can you imagine if that game was awesome? Like it was a nail biter, one of the better games of the year. Just giving us a little bit of a break from all what's going on the politics side of things.
It would have been great.
Just a little bit. I'm not saying politics isn't important. It's presidency of the United States, for crying out loud. But I mean, I've been watching and going, no, nothing yet. No, nothing yet. No. Oh, look, George is turning blue. Okay. All right.
No, in fact, the only reason why I tune in now is I tune in to watch John King.
Yeah, John King's good.
I mean, I've never seen a man who knows that many counties ever.
Bill Hemmer's doing the same thing on Fox. They know it a lot. Real quick, I saw this on Twitter yesterday. Is it true that John King is Larry King's son?
Come on.
Now, somebody said that on Twitter. Like, somebody reasonable said that on Twitter, not as a joke. And I thought, well, King is not, it's not like it's an uncommon last name. You know,
I'm going to look it up.
But I thought, no, that could be true, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, does the age fit? He's 57.
Larry King's old.
There's
Larry
no
King's
got to
be close to 90.
Maybe they're related, but.
Maybe. I don't know. It seemed something I didn't believe because I'm like, look, you can't just say a king and a king are related. I mean, geez.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm like, well, it could happen. People tend to stay in the business.
I'm not seeing it here.
Nope. Okay.
And, you know, if you can't trust Wikipedia, who can you trust?
That's true. It might have been a joke. So it'd be cool if it was, though.
Larry's a legend.
I think I'd like it. Do you think, 15 years from now, some young kid is going to go, hey, that Joe Buck, is he related to that Jack Buck guy that my grandpa used to listen to back in the day?
No. I think that one would be widely known.
I think that's widely known, too.
You got to find someone that's a little more obscure. Like, oh, I didn't, you know, like, I was always impressed that Carrie Fisher was related to Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah, me too. I thought that was kind of cool.
I thought that was weird. Like, okay, they don't have the same last name.
But if you're in the sports business, right? If you love sports, if you, like, follow everything, you knew immediately when Buck got the early, his 20s, and he got the World Series, and he's calling NFL games. You knew he was related to Jack Buck. You knew it because he said it, and people said it, and it became common knowledge. I got to think if John King was related to Larry King in the news business, everybody would know. We wouldn't know that in 2020. He's been around a long time. We would have known that for years and years and years. So I don't know. I'm just throwing something out there. But yeah, you're right. I don't know how you know all those counties. It's crazy. That is, I said this earlier this week. I live in Tennessee. I barely know what county I live in. Okay. I went to the wrong polling place because I thought I was in another county. I live right on the border. So I went to the polling place and I'm like, you're not in the system. And immediately I said, that's fraud. She goes, are you in Murray County? And I went, I think so. I'm on the border. She goes, yeah, you need to go down the street to this other place. That's behind the barbecue place.
Now here,
and I'm like,
something.
Yeah, great.
Here's something you could have fun with. Larry King filed for divorce from his seventh wife last year.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife's name was Sean King.
Oh, really?
Not to be confused with ex-quarterback Sean King.
He used to play for the Buccaneers. I remember him. Yeah. God, that's great. Wait, how old is Larry King? Does it say?
Oh, I'm certain somewhere.
80 plus years old?
He's got to be, right?
Okay.
86.
What if you're 86, what are you looking for in a relationship that you divorce your seventh wife?
After 22 years, by the way.
Like, what are you missing at 80? Like, at 86, don't you want to be like, you know what? I don't care anymore.
Yeah, she brings me the porridge at the right time.
Nag me, drive me crazy, give me a headache. You know what? I'm 86. Just Just give me a couple of hours of peace. That's all I do. What would make you like call your lawyer? I'm going through this again. Start filing the paperwork. Find out what she wants. At 86, don't you think you sort of go, I'm good.
He had two kids with that wife.
Really? Oh my God.
Yeah, one was born in 99. The other one was born in 2000.
God bless him.
That's impressive.
Remember that famous clip with Jerry Seinfeld when he didn't know?
I was going to bring that up. That's my favorite thing of him of all time.
One of my favorite clips ever. I love when Seinfeld said, you do any research on this show? Because they didn't cancel you. Cancel? The number one TV show in the country. Larry King. That's great.
Yeah, you got to imagine someone got fired that day, right?
You got to think. If Larry King's embarrassed on his show, somebody's going down, and they may have been completely innocent. He may look at the coffee boy and go, you're gone. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's falling on the sword for this. It's you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, Sam. You got to disappear.
You know Larry King wasn't going off the cue cards on that one.
Not at all.
He just went off the cuff and was like, oh, well, you know, his show's over. It must have been canceled.
Nope. You know, exactly.
You do any research on the show, Larry?
Dude, terrible. Terrible. All right. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Okay. Here's what the rundown. We're going to do Good, the Bad, and the Dumb this hour. Coming up next hour, we're going to do our preview of the NFL weekend. There's some really good games coming up this
weekend.
Should be better than last night for sure. Then we're also going to talk to Jeff Hammond, Fox Sports. We're going to get a NASCAR season review and preview of the championship. We haven't done NASCAR in a long time. I think the last NASCAR thing we did. Was that the Bubba Wallace situation at Talladega when we had somebody on to kind of straighten that story out?
Yeah, Bob Pockrass.
Yes, exactly. So that was really the last NASCAR thing we done. But they're crowning a champion. They're closing out their season. So we'll get a wrap up of Jeff Hammond.
It's a championship, right?
It's pretty good. Yeah,
it's a championship.
It's a championship. It's a title. So we'll get his thoughts on that. I like Jeff Hammond too. He's got that Southern accent. He sounds NASCAR-y.
Yeah.
If that's a thing.
Oh, it is. That's a verb or an adjective.
If it isn't, I made it up and it's mine. Don't any of you steal it.
It's in Webster's.
By the way, on Twitter at Tony D Radio, if I had a prize, I'd give it to somebody that could come up with a sentence for NASCAR-y. If you can come up with a good sentence for NASCAR-y, I should give you a prize. We'll at least share it on the air.
Or will you give him something out of your house?
That's true. I'll find something around here to give you. At Tony D Radio or at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. All right, coming up, more on the NFL game last night a little bit, but I want to get to college football because, as I said at the top of the hour, we may be finding out some things this weekend because we're at that point in November where we do find stuff out in college football. That is next as we continue on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts to see their selection. The professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will install your wiper blades free of charge. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up this hour. That's going to be in 10 minutes. So you don't want to miss that because it's always good at the end of the week. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is good any day, but the end of the week has a very unique, fun flavor. So college football this weekend, as I said earlier, if you take COVID out of the equation, right? What would we be doing right now in any normal college football circumstance? Well, you would have the beginning of the season, you know, the Labor Day weekend, all the way through to the end of September, around the end of September. You'd be getting a couple of really cool non-conference matchups that would be played in Atlanta or Arlington or wherever. Then you would get cupcake games. Then you'd get some games, you know, get your feet wet, get rolling along, pay some schools, get them, you know, come in to get killed 55-10, and then play a few conference games. You'll start your conference schedule. Then you'd have October, and then you'd really get going with your conference games. And some of the games will be huge, and some of the games will be, you know, back off. You'd have the Red River rivalry. You'd have third Saturday in October, Tennessee and Alabama. You'd have, you know, a couple of games in the Big Ten. But then you'd get to November, and you'd be looking towards the finish line, right? You'd be looking at Thanksgiving, and you'd be saying, okay, Where are we? How good are these teams? You know, we need to know. We need to start narrowing the field. That's what you would be doing around this time during any normal COVID circumstances. It's not so far off in this year. It's not that far off. Because even though seasons got started late, you had the SEC starting in late September. The Big Ten just started 2 weeks ago. The Pac-12 is starting this weekend. You're still getting a feel for that. I'll give you an example. The SEC has got Georgia, Florida. It's the cocktail party. It's the rivalry. All of that aside, the winner of this is going to have an inside track into winning the conference, the division, and playing for the conference title at the end. You've got a team like Michigan that's ranked in the top 25 despite losing to Michigan State. But does anybody know how good Indiana really is? Indiana's 2-0. I know big win against Penn State to open up the season. But now they got a Michigan team that needs to get a bounce back moment and kind of needs to get bounced back quick. Ranked 23rd in the poll. I mean, the Pac-12, you've got USC and Oregon. Both of those teams are ranked in the top 25. Oregon is 12th. I think USC is ranked 20th, if I'm not mistaken. Both of those schools are starting off the year. And you want to, there's an impression that needs to be made immediately because both of those schools are playing a 6-game schedule. But I think the highlight of the weekend is Clemson and Notre Dame. I was talking about this a little bit yesterday. If you're the Tigers, you can lose this game. You can especially lose a close game. That's not going to hurt you at all. If you've got a backup quarterback, even a highly touted backup quarterback, without Trevor Lawrence, and you take Notre Dame to the wire, and you should. Defensively, you're still strong, even though there's a couple of guys that are key to the defense that have been injured, and Dabo's not confident that they'll play. You still got Travis Etienne. You still can run the ball. And the kid, Uiagalelei, is pretty decent. He's not a terrible backup. He's a highly touted recruit. If you're Notre Dame, this is win or nothing. I don't care what Clemson brings to the table. If you're Ann Book and you're Brian Kelly, you got to win this game. You have to win this game. Notre Dame gets the benefit of the doubt until the end of the season. Right? We like them. We like them. The committee likes them. People are like, yeah, it's a pretty good Notre Dame team. We get them in the playoff, and then we don't like Notre Dame anymore. This has been traditional. Or a championship game before we had the playoff. Remember when they got slaughtered by Alabama? And there were people actually thinking that Notre Dame was going to give Alabama a run for its money? I will never forget that game. One of the things I really remember from that, A.J. McCarron was the quarterback for Alabama at the time. And they were running a play. They were up by a number of touchdowns. And McCarron was angry at his center. I forget the center's name, but he went to like the Rams or something. He was drafted. And they were arguing. And McCarron, I think, called timeout and was kind of jawing at his center because they weren't on the same page. But yet they were up by a ton late in the game. They had been instilled with perfection by Nick Saban so much that even in a game where they were dominating Notre Dame and were going to win the national championship, that they were still saying, no, everything has to be perfect. When you're doing that, you are throttling your opponent. And that Notre Dame was on the bad end of that. If the Irish lose to Clemson, a good Clemson team, let's not mistake, Clemson is still going to bring weapons. They are still going to bring a good defense. They are still going to bring a highly touted recruited quarterback. Trevor Lawrence or no Trevor Lawrence, Clemson is still going to be a force to reckon with. But if Notre Dame loses that, they're not getting any benefit of the doubt at all. But Clemson can lose this one. And you can still have it. Well, you know, I mean, do we really want to send Clemson out of this playoff? They got Lawrence healthy now. And Notre Dame, nope, not getting that. Not getting that at all. And those are a couple of takeaways from this weekend. Yes, we have cancellations. Of course we do. We have Air Force and Army has been canceled. We've got, again, a number of games. We had the Cal Bears in Washington State postponed. Wisconsin and Purdue is postponed. I think Tulsa in their game this weekend against Navy has been postponed. Louisville and Virginia in the ACC, that one has gotten postponed. I'm trying to think of a couple of others. But that's normal. That's okay. We've gone through week in and week out of that. But the games that are going to go on as of right now, they're key. Georgia, Florida, Clemson, and Notre Dame. Michigan and Indiana, of all teams. Indiana's ranked 13th in the country, by the way. Pac-12 teams that are going to open up the season to showcase what they are and have to do it quickly with a six-game schedule. And Liberty, ranked 25th in the nation, going on the road to face Virginia Tech. A couple of good ones in college football. Good, the bad, and the dumb. Coming up next on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Before we get to that, a reminder. The Athletic delivers sports stories that matter, and they have full-time local writers that are dedicated to your teams, providing breaking news, in-depth analysis, and exclusive stories you can't find anywhere else. They've got national names, Robert Mays, Stuart Mandel, David Aldridge, Ken Rosenthal, Lindsey Jones, providing unrivaled league-level perspective at Inside. Great website, all personalized, ad-free, whether you're looking for a fantasy football edge or a long-term outlook for your NBA team. Athletic is the sports coverage you need. And I say personalized. I love it. I open up my Athletic page every morning. Right away, Steelers information, South Carolina information, whatever my teams are, if they're in the news, it's right there, right on your opening page. But you can go to any team, any page, and really get the good analysis that you're looking for. Subscribe today. It's only $1 a week at theathletic.com/radioweek. Once again, theathletic.com/radioweek. All right, let's start with the good, the bad, and the dumb, and the good of the day.
I actually have two.
Oh, two, good.
Yeah, well,
close out the week strong.
Yeah, one is, you know, just a PSA, if you will. If you're looking for a TV show to binge watch this weekend, I don't know why you would. There's a lot of good football games going to be happening. We'll get to that in a little bit. But if you're like, you know what, I'm kind of footballed out for the day.
Right.
Queen's Gambit.
Oh my God, I saw Phil Mickelson say this was amazing.
I'm four episodes in.
Is it that good?
It's, yes.
That's awesome. I want to watch it.
Yes.
The trailer that I get didn't look appealing.
I will say this right away. I mean, it is about chess, but it's not about chess.
Okay.
It's more of a coming-of-age story for a girl becoming a woman playing chess in a man's world because it's set in the, you know what, the 50s, the 60s. But I don't know what the appeal is and why it's so entertaining, but it is. You just get sucked in and you don't realize. I mean, we sat down, we watched. I came in late to it. My wife was already watching one episode. I was just kind of, you know, was like helping getting dinner ready, and I was just kind of like glancing over and found myself getting stuck every once in a while. By the time we sat down and we started, just relaxing, we were four episodes in, and each of them were an hour long.
Oh, wow.
It was, and they were just rolling through. It was.
I'm going to have to give this a whirl.
It's entertaining. I don't know why it's entertaining, though. It's hard to put my finger on, like, why is this so compelling? It just is.
Mickelson was on his flight to Houston for the Houston Open, and he tweeted out that his new favorite show is The Queen's Gambit. He said he was addicted to it. He couldn't stop watching it.
It is.
And I said, and I went, is that the chess thing I saw on Netflix? When I set my cursor, if you will, or selection on something, it gives me the trailer, and I'm watching the trailer going, I don't know if this is interesting. What's the big deal?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
But everybody is saying how wonderful it is. So I'm glad you watched it, because I'll take your word for it.
It's kind of...
Right?
It's kind of slow to start, right? You know, just like any TV show where you're getting into the development of the characters and who's who and what is this, you know, who's this person going to turn out to be. So that part, you know, they really spend a lot of detailed time on that. But then once you get the basis of what the show is all about and where it's going, you're enthralled by it.
Okay, very good.
The other good of the day is that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a better man than you or I.
All right. What did he do now?
He paid tribute to a player who was who got traded from the Dolphins to the Patriots in the most Ryan Fitzpatrick way, which was sporting booty shorts during practice.
Oh, nice.
Now, when I say booty shorts, I am literally talking about booty shorts, the shorts that usually are reserved for, you know, the female gender that you're like, yeah, I can look at that all day.
So he has no problems doing this.
He was out on the practice field. What he did was he took a pair of Dolphin pants, jersey pants, and cut them. And they literally just, I don't know. I don't want to say how high up on the thigh they were, but and just in all his glory, just standing there.
That's
it
great.
It's a sight to be seen. I don't know if it's fantastic, but it is a sight to be seen.
That's awesome. That's good. Good for him. Good for him. All right, then what's the bad of the day as we head to the weekend?
Oh boy, the bad of the day is you and I have a feeling about robots.
I'm a little nervous about them, yeah.
Yeah, well, Disney, the Imagineering team, decided to jump into the, let's step up robot realistic game.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and you get the Imagineers behind it. They can pretty much do anything.
They do anything.
So they created a robot that can mimic staring, blinking, and breathing.
Really?
And what I'm saying by this is if you Google Disney robot stare gaze, you will see that this is perhaps the creepiest thing you've ever seen.
Are these for the rides, or are they just doing them for their own entertainment purposes?
I don't know, but I feel what I fear is this. You have people who are creating AI that, to the point where, machines can talk to each other, or one can write an essay talking about how they won't take over the human race.
Right.
And then now you're creating a robot that is so lifelike looking that it'll scare the out of you.
Don't we need Jeff Goldblum's character in Jurassic Park?
Yeah, but this is my fear is that eventually these two ideas are going to combine with each other.
Yeah, I agree. So, like Jeff Goldblum, his character said, Malcolm, where he goes, you were so preoccupied whether or not you could, you didn't think whether or not you should. Like,
yeah.
Is that what's going on here? Where they're can we invent a robot that would just kill the human race? Let's try it. See if we can. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, their project was realistic and interactive robot gaze. And the team said gaze has been shown to be a key social signal shaping perceptions of interaction partners.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right, so when you go to Disney World or Disneyland and you're in like the Pirates of the Caribbean, you can sense that they're like animatronics. They don't really have fluid motion.
Right.
But that was 50s and 60s technology. I'm thinking now that they can make a animatronic at Disney World within the Imagineers that looks like a human being where you'd be blown away it wasn't a human being.
Exactly. That's what it is.
That's crazy. Making me nervous.
That's what I'm saying. That once these two ideas combine with each other, I think somebody needs to just stop.
Yeah.
Take a timeout.
Okay. Because this is going too fast.
Almost to the point of like, is there some election stuff we can just focus on instead?
See, you and I during the break were talking about my wife and I bought a small TV for my office, right? And I paid, it was like a little bit over $100, where 10 years ago, it might've been $1,000, where 10, 15 years ago right? Things go quick. The technology moves so fast and it becomes cheaper to do stuff. It becomes cheaper to have the very best stuff.
And for the price, right? Like I was talking about, the price I paid for our first flat screen TV back in 2007, I can get one of those like 108-inch gigantic mirror image, does everything, including your dishes TV.
Right. And so my point is that if you think this is we got some time, we don't have time. You're going to wake up one day and this is going to be real because technology is exponential. And next thing you know, we're going to be slaves to the robot overlords.
It will be. I mean, straight from the horse's mouth, if you will, Disney is saying that the company that developed this robot says on its website that the ultimate goal is creating something that mimics real life.
Yeah, oh, wonderful.
We don't need that.
Don't need it.
We don't need it.
Thanks. You already put people in costumes and it's fun. And so, all right. What's the dumb of the day?
I couldn't wait to talk about this with you.
Okay.
All right, I'm just going to read you the headline. Or the marketing ploy, right? The hook in marketing, if you will. Who wants a bite of Santa's yum nut?
Oh, wow. Where is this coming from?
This is from manufacturer Marks and Spencer, who have created they've taken a spin on their yum yum cronut and given it a Christmassy makeover that literally literally is just a cronut. And, you know, who doesn't like a cronut? I actually haven't had one, but they sound delicious.
I haven't had one either.
Which is just a hybrid croissant and donut together. So, I mean, how can you go wrong with that?
It doesn't sound bad.
It's just red with Santa's belt buckle, and they're calling it Santa's Yum Nut.
Are they doing that on purpose, or did they, or is somebody whispering to their ear, that doesn't sound good?
Well, I don't think anyone's whispering in their ear. That's the problem. I don't think they really sat this all the way through. All they had to do was just bring in like a teenage boy and go, how does this sound to you during their marketing? And Santa, you know, once they see that the teenage boy just can't stop laughing, because that's me.
Yeah.
The teenage boy inside of me is laughing and thinking of all the jokes.
Absolutely.
For Santa's Yum Nut.
That's great. Somebody pay attention. So, oh, goodness.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can go and get you can go and I'm not sure where Marks and Spencer is. I believe it's over in the UK.
Yeah.
You can go and get, you know, order yourself some Santa's Yum Nut.
Unbelievable. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb, your Friday edition. Hey, once again, a reminder, with holidays approaching, you may be looking for that perfect gift for somebody or the perfect gift for yourself because, you know, people are going to ask you, what do you want? And you're going to be like, nothing, and then you're going to get nothing. So you want to tell them what you want. Go to homefields.com. Check out their really cool state-of-the-art three-dimensional art pieces of some of your favorite stadiums and arenas from across the country. More than 160 stadiums and arenas available. They're all lighted. They come in three sizes, 9, 13, and 19 inches. Ron has Dodger Stadium. I have Three River Stadium. I know Anthony Pepe on our network has Fenway Park. They look great. They're lit. They're beautiful. They give you a really cool illusion effect of three-dimensional, a real three-dimensional look, and they make all, like, if you have a man cave, these are perfect. Absolutely perfect. Just they're really great. And Ken Small, who created them, he took drone flights, took aerial shots of the stadiums, and then created these pieces where the wood sort of layers itself into this three-dimensional effect. You got to see it to believe it. And even when you see it online, trust me on this, when it comes in to the house, when you look at it and have it in your hands, it's going to look even better, especially lit up. They are fantastic. Again, homefields.com. Check it out on their website. Again, over 160 stadiums to choose from. Some stadiums aren't even around to this day. You can go back in time, get that nostalgic feel. Or if you currently like where your team is playing in their brand new billion-dollar crib, that's available too. So check them out at homefields.com. It's the perfect gift. All right, as we continue, it is Wake Up Call on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. This hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. I purchased my first flat screen TV, 50-inch, in 2004. It was a Samsung. I paid $1,899 at Best Buy.
Sounds about right.
That's about right. I remember seeing the first HD TV I saw was at some, like, it wasn't like a store, but it was more like a, it was like a trade show kind of thing that my wife were at. And I want to say it was around that time, maybe a little later, maybe a few years later, because I remember my son being little. And they put on a hockey game. Remember how good hockey looked initially on HD? And you'd be like, oh my God, is that what I'm going to buy?
All sports. Remember the first time you got HD and you were looking at sports, you were like, God, I can see the blades of grass.
It is so bizarre how the human brain works, because when you first saw, remember when you first saw HD, it blew you away. Now you can recognize television without HD the second it comes on.
Yeah.
Like, if I accidentally put on a channel that's not part of the HD side of things, I know the second it's on.
Or it's a movie from the 80s.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Because they weren't filmed that way, and you're looking at, like, you watch Ghostbusters, and I'm like, ah.
I'm so spoiled. I go on YouTube, and I see these, like, clips of old TV shows that somebody had a VCR and somehow rigged it up to sort of give you like an 80s football game feel when Summerall and Madden were calling like Bears Niners in 84. And I'm like, this isn't clear enough. It's too fuzzy. I don't like this. Like, that's how spoiled I am with all this. But yeah, you're right. That, you know, it's incredible how cheap things are. And they
it's amazing.
We had to get rid the, I had one of those big, remember the big screen TVs that were thick? They had the tube,
yes.
But they were like big and they were on wheels. Remember that?
Yes.
My wife and I got one from a friend around 2004 or 2005. We loved it. I loved it. It was a big screen TV. People came home to watch the Super Bowl. But once the flat screens came out, I couldn't get it out of my head how badly I wanted that. Like, I'm like looking at my old, you know, my old big screen TV. And I'm like, buddy, we're going to have to send you to the wherever the old TVs go to die.
The old farm.
Yeah. My brother moved and bought a flat screen TV, and he had one of the, his old TV was one of those tube that Goodwill wouldn't even take it. What do they do with those TVs?
I think they just trash them.
What, they maybe, just put them in a dump or somewhere?
Maybe they take out some of the parts.
Do they need, yeah, exactly. Do they need some of the parts, like the vacuum tubes?
I have no idea.
Gosh, it's
nuts. You know what is sad, though, with the technology that keeps rolling along? Kids today, specifically my kids, will never know the joy of walking into a classroom and seeing the TV cart in there.
Yeah, it's true.
Because you go into every single classroom now, they have a computer screen that, you know, they just show
right.
It right on the black, on the whiteboard, or, you know, they have a TV actually in the classroom.
Remember how cool that was back
when
in the day?
When you walked in and you saw that, you were like, yes.
Yeah, teacher needs work to do. Teacher's busy. Teacher's going to show us a movie that's going to be something
video.
Close to what we're doing, because teacher's behind on grading papers or something she needs for the department head.
Yep. Or the teacher just didn't feel like teaching today.
Pay attention to this movie. And then they're always at their desk like, oh, no, I was supposed to do this last night, but husband wanted to go to war, you know, out to eat.
The game was on.
Oh, God.
Oh, we can't really. I don't know about that, because there are only three channels then.
That's true. It wasn't like a ton of things to watch back in the day. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's crazy. It is. It just goes back. Like, I remember a friend of mine who had the first GPS unit I ever saw. And I remember thinking it was magic.
Yeah.
Like, it was so incredible. Like, but if you had said to me, hold on, within 6 years, you'll be carrying one in your pocket. Like, that's how quick. No. I went from saying, is this witchcraft, to having it in my pocket was a really short amount of time.
Do they even offer them anymore when you go rent a car?
Yeah, exactly. Like, do they? Was that part of the upgrade package? Because I don't think they, I think it's not, it's nobody's getting that. You're right. Wake up call. NFL schedule next.